Hello, everyone. I'm John Melke. It's a pleasure to have with us today UW-Parkside Director of Continuing Education, Krista Cruz, and UW-Parkside Admissions Counselor, Gia Gutierrez. Krista and Gia, welcome.
Thank you, John.
Thank you so much, John. Thanks for having us.
It's my pleasure. Earlier this fall, the Council for Adult and Experiential Learning, or CAEL, named UW-Parkside one of 15 colleges or universities across the country to participate in a three-year initiative with Excelencia in Education to better support Latino students and especially adult Latino students. What does this announcement mean to the university and to Latino students in our region?
Well, we do know that looking at the research that Latino students are graduating at higher numbers. So, and I have our numbers person here, Gia, in a minute, who can maybe share some of those numbers with us here at UW-Parkside. But it gives us an opportunity to better serve the Latino population. And also, as you mentioned, it's focused on the adult learner, which is really important because we have a high percentage of adult learners here at UW-Parkside as well. And we certainly want to do a better job of serving that population. And I believe that a lot of the initiatives or, you know, some of the work that we do here with the grant will also be transferable to other adult learners as well. So I think it's a really great opportunity for us to just do a better job in serving the population.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, I don't think you could have said it any better. I think Parkside is a hub for diversity, and that certainly is something that's evident within our numbers, you know, considering that last year's graduating class, over, you know, 60% of our first-generation students. It certainly goes to show how accessible it is for our students to be able to attend Parkside, obtain their degrees, and certainly Latinos are amongst those students. Mm-hmm. So we certainly, you know, have some high number of enrollment of students that are Latino, and we've been on a rise. We've been on a rise over the last years. We've been able to track data, and we certainly have been able to see that Latinos are certainly leaving their mark here on campus.
Now
what, and I believe from the last year we have 1.5% jump already from last year.
Yep, certainly. So we're moving at a very rapid pace. So when we were able to find out that we became an emerging Hispanic serving institution, it meant a lot. Meant a lot for our institution. It certainly shows that we're making waves and that we are really setting ourselves apart from not just from the rest of the public institutions within our state, but also there's, you know, great competitors out there as well within the private sector. We've already got some Hispanic-serving institutions already within Wisconsin, and we want to definitely show that Parkside's right behind, right on the ball, trying to get to that standard as well.
Right, right. Now, when we talk a little bit about what it means for the university to be an emerging Hispanic-serving institution versus Hispanic-serving institution, and that was part of the criteria for qualifying for this initiative through CAEL, correct?
Correct. And so you need to be at 15% to be an emerging HSI, which stands for Hispanic-serving institution. And to be a full HSI would be 25%, the Latino population. Okay. So we're, as Gia said, we're moving at a rapid rate. We're at 16.8, I see here, for this year, and we are moving quickly toward in that direction. And as you mentioned, we are one of 15 institutions serving or participating in the academy with the CAEL 360 Adult Learner Grant. So we're really excited about that to see if we can even improve those numbers more over the next 3 years. So
yeah, certainly. And with being an emerging, I think something important that's to denote with that is the fact the word itself, emerging, means that, you know, our Latinos are emerging. They're, you know, gaining status here on campus. They're coming to Parkside, whether it's for our programs, for our diversity, for our affordability, and how accessible our campus really is. All of that really are criteria of an exemplary school that can and has the potential to become a Hispanic-serving institution. And we've certainly talked about, you know, what happens once an institution becomes an HSI, and I think those are definitely concerns and things that we're looking at But in the meantime, having become an emerging Hispanic-serving institution, it's really, you know, getting our gears going. It's getting our gears going. It's making us shift really our focus within our Department of Admissions. Certainly, it's, you know, throwing us out into our community, you know, really pushing for the people within our community to have access to the information, to have access to know what Parkside is all about. And that's certainly one of the roles that I play within our campus and within initiatives like this.
So from your department standpoint, is it a, or looking back historically, let's say, was it the fact that the Latino population throughout the United States, and especially here in southeastern Wisconsin, or here in southeastern Wisconsin, is growing in the number of Latino students graduating from high school is growing, so there's more of a market there for UW Parkside to bring those students into the university. So how do you, as an admissions counselor, how do you look at it as being able to go out and focus your efforts on the Latino student? And I know we're talking here about a couple different things because the initiative is adult Latino students, but for the moment, more of the traditional age Latino student coming out of high schools in the area, how do you present UW Parkside to that market?
That's an excellent question, and it certainly is one that has driven a lot of our recent initiatives to push for enrollment, and like you said, not just for our more traditional first-year student, but definitely adult student. Definitely making sure that the students that are finding out about Parkside are also considering all the different options, you know, making sure that when they are when we are approaching them, we're being transparent, that we are presenting all the different programs, how affordable it is, what the application process may seem like. So when approaching students, you know, oftentimes we're it initiates by just the conversation, just having the conversation, well, have you given it some thought about going to college? You know, and that typically gets them going. We've been able to see, and I was just doing some research not that long ago about the decrease in dropout rates for Latino students, and I think that definitely is something that is moving the Latino student towards pursuing higher, whether it's higher education or going into the trades. I think there's a lot of factors that play a role into why our Latino students are looking now to seek higher ed opportunities, and I don't doubt that there's many factors, such as whether it's politics, economy. I mean, just within our city of Kenosha, we're going through such a huge industrial growth, and that's certainly pushing a lot of the community within our immediate neighborhood, you know, to move for other opportunities whether it's higher ed or the technical route. All those different areas are really bringing in a lot of students, and the Latino students certainly see the benefit of, you know, investing in that. And people like myself, like Krista, you know, we're out there really kind of getting the students the information, and then it's up to them really to make the decision if, you know, they're going to pursue our university or a technical school.
And to add to that about getting their information, we're also, there's a research component to this three-year initiative. So right now we are gathering data within the university so that we can understand our Latino adult population. How do they think that we're serving them? How do they feel about that? And what could we do better? So that's one thing, and then we get to take that data and we get to look at that and kind of dissect it and decide what are some of the things that we can improve upon, what student support services can we maybe just improve or change or add, maybe some things that we don't even offer currently. And I see that as something that's transferable also to the entire Latino population here at Parkside. So yes, it will definitely benefit and focus on the adult learner for this grant, for the initiative, but it will also definitely benefit our students as a whole. So
certainly, and even myself as working within admissions, working with our typical first-year students, I mean, those first-year students, you know, if they have parents, this would be a great opportunity for them to see that with our rapid growth of Latino students, that there's an opportunity also for them to be able to continue on, whether it's finish a degree or get started with a path for them to be able to obtain that diploma.
And we're real excited to show the families that we're committed to this, that Parkside is committed to this work. And so we've already have some exciting things that we really don't have enough information to talk about yet, but they're in the works that will, you know, in the early stages really help our families understand, you know, who to talk to and what services are available for students coming in, entering into the university, and for the parents even, maybe to continue their education or start college themselves as adult learners. So, yeah, so there's a lot of work to be done, but we have a really good team in place to get this started. We'll be moving into the implementation phase, the planning and implementation phase of the grant. So really it's research, then it's planning, and then implementation. And so it's over a 3-year period, and then we get to measure our outcomes and see how well we did. And I have full confidence that it's going to be a good outcome, and we'll be happy with the outcomes.
Mm-hmm. Now, you don't have to go back too many years, and I don't know the exact number of years we're going back, but Parkside did not have an orientation information session for Hispanic Latino students and their families, such as we have now with mm-hmm. Yosoy Parkside and also the College of Social Sciences and Professional Studies, Descubre Parkside. Mm-hmm. What do events like that mean to our ability to help make Hispanic and Latino students and their families aware of the educational opportunities here at Parkside?
With last year's planning, John, of Yosoy Parkside, it really opened up a broad set of opportunities for me to be able to develop and really customize our visits. We certainly have a variety of different visits available for our campus with the students that we bring in and with the communities that we touch base with. Definitely the Latino students is one of the few that has a specific visit that is catered to them for students whose first language is Spanish. Mm-hmm. So now this initiative, this event, is held typically in the month of January. And last year was the first year that I personally was the one helping our visitor coordinator, Courtney Payne, and, you know, and being able to plan this and making sure that we had a structure for it and that it was a comprehensive visit where our families would be able to learn not just about the colleges, but learn about the admissions process in general, application and financial aid, all of the big topics that when looking at universities, you know, an institution should be covering. Mm-hmm. And after last year's planning, one of our biggest audiences during this visit was parents. Mm-hmm. Parents, yeah. Along with the students. Okay. So one of the changes or the tweaks that I made for this year's upcoming Yosoy Parkside event is that I have a session that's completely focused on the parents, not just the way that they can support their students, but also for them to envision the possibilities beyond coming in and completing your degree, but by starting.
For themselves as a student, not just the parent yes. or family member of a student.
Right. Yeah. So the workshop itself is titled on being proactive and not reactive. It's how parents can prepare their students on their path to college by really, you know, supporting them from the beginning of their high school experience. Mm-hmm. And this way they're also able to see how, you know, that trajectory of achievement, of goals, milestones that students can obtain in high school can really set them up for success. But with that, you know, our parents are going through the rest of our sessions too, in which they're seeing, up close the meeting our faculty, you know, meeting our admission staff and understanding the process themselves. So it makes it much more easier to have that conversation when it does come time for adult mm-hmm. recruitment. They have an idea, and certainly, you know, they'll know that there's people they can go to within our campus if it were, you know, something or a goal that they may want to pursue.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the, if you can put them into major categories, what are some of the questions that, whether it be the traditional age student or the adult age student or family members, what are some of the questions that you as an admissions counselor are answering maybe more often? What are some of the major questions that you get hit with?
It varies. When I'm approaching students, questions tend to go more hand-in-hand with definitely programs or living on campus. Hmm. What is the, you know, Parkside experience like? Myself as an alumni can definitely, you know, share more on that aspect with the students. But when I'm speaking with parents, oftentimes, you know, and even myself as a Latina myself, when I approached my parents about going to college, first thing that my dad asked me is like, how much is it going to cost me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so definitely making sure that we're being transparent when it comes to how affordable Parkside is, and even in general, just being able to talk about the financial aspect about going to college, whether you're looking at a 4-year accredited university or you're looking at technical school. So there's a variety of different options. So typically my conversation with parents revolve around financials, but also talking about, you know, the welcoming environment, you know, being transparent about, you know, making sure that they understand that their son or daughter is going to be in a safe place where they're going to feel welcomed. Mm-hmm. And I've always, you know, had the certainty to be able to share my experience as a student and also now working behind the scenes and, you know, assuring them that right. they're making the right choice and supporting their son or daughter by coming to Parkside.
Right.
And I think, too, there's an opportunity for Parkside to work with youth from the Latino community. We recently received a request from a school counselor at one of the local school districts. You know, are we translating or going to offer materials for our youth programs in Spanish?
Mm-hmm.
So there's opportunities there to bring youth and families to campus early on so that they are comfortable with Parkside, so they can get a feel for how we are here and, you know, ask questions at an early stage and think about careers and programs that they may be interested in, you know, in the future.
And as Director of Continuing Education, how has the Hispanic Latino market impacted, changed, influenced what you do as Director of Continuing Education?
I wouldn't say it's as strongly influencing continuing ed as much right now as it is with enrollments here at Parkside and programs. I think where I'm hearing the requests are in the youth program area, and then also our Spanish classes, our non-credit Spanish classes, continue to increase in enrollment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's being impacted there as well, because there's a need for people to speak Spanish as well. So, I do expect that there will be some changes in the future, for mm-hmm. sure, especially as we work, you know, head down the road on this initiative. I think we'll see some things come up.
And as part of the, this is a grant, and I think if I've got this correct, Christy, you said $30,000
grant over 3 years
for this initiative mm-hmm. over 3 years, and they talk about a toolkit offered by Kale through the Adult Learner 360 Academy. What's in the toolkit?
Well, that's the research piece of it, and so we just finished our survey with adult Hispanic students, and then also had the faculty and staff. There was that piece of it as well, and what they'll do is they'll look at all the data, they'll analyze it, they'll send us a report and some recommendations. So what we do is we work with Kale through the mm-hmm. toolkit, and then also we will work within the cohort of, there's 15 institutions altogether that were selected to participate, so we'll be working with this cohort of 14 other institutions to look at some of the things that they're doing, because it's a mix of emerging SHIs and SHIs. So we will work together to, you know, look at what are they doing that is successful,
yeah.
what have they tried and maybe, you know, didn't work out so well. Maybe looking at other institutions that might be similar in size or demographics that we have here at Parkside. You know, all those types of things and working together to help us form our plan for implementation. So that's how the project will work.
So you have the opportunity to share some the cliche best practices
yes.
with these other institutions. Mm-hmm. And Gia, do you do any of that right now with other institutions, other admissions offices in the region, or is it more like you're, I don't want to say that you're, you know, you're kind of, oh, here's something we're doing really well, we're going to kind of play that a little closer, or do you share information with other admissions offices in the area?
Well, I think certainly Parkside's been very fortunate to be one of the sources of information for a lot of the local high schools where mm-hmm. if they have information sessions or parent nights that are offered for Spanish first speaking families, definitely Parkside is typically on their list of invites. Mm-hmm. So I've been able to travel to a couple different local high schools and even within Illinois to share about Parkside. And within those institutions, you know, that are also visiting, it's oftentimes a technical school and then a private college that's also invited to the event. I wouldn't say so much that we share, like, best practices amongst institutions, but I have seen that there are other institutions that are also mimicking the work that we're doing. Hmm. So it's, you know, it certainly, you know, shows us that we're on the right track and that we're being recognized also for our efforts. Sure. So not necessarily on the other side, but we are open to being able to, you know, welcome any new initiatives within recruitment that could, you know, provide information to our students and that can definitely, you know, recruit potential Rangers.
Mm-hmm. The initiative, 3 years, what does 2021 or 2022, what does that look like? You know, where do you think yeah. the initiative takes us in that time period?
Well, we definitely are hoping to grow our enrollments with this population, but also that we are doing a much better job, you know, improved support services for Latino students, and also more bilingual information on our website and our materials, mm-hmm. Just in general. It will kind of be the standard practice around here is what we're aiming for. So... improved programming and services. And I don't know specifically what those will be. I definitely know we're looking at the website right now is something that we feel that we can get a jump start on mm-hmm. To improve. And some of our messaging, I think. And you've already been working on that in admissions, so.
Yeah, we've been able to translate a couple pieces that are definitely, you know, some of our key components or our view books. You know, we have that available in Spanish. We have our financial piece, you know, that's translated in Spanish. Information about scholarships. I oftentimes meet with students who are DACA, recipients of DACA, or students who are perhaps undocumented or international students as well. Mm-hmm. So we've been able to see the value in being able to translate several of our pieces. But there's certainly, you know, several other components mm-hmm. that I think definitely would benefit greatly from being able to translate those. And I think it's definitely, you know, opens up a, you know, bigger question, you know, since we're growing at such a rapid pace, you know, there's what's there, you know, other things that we need to keep in mind of as we're continuing our enrollment. And that's certainly, so those are also questions that are being, you right. know, asked on the table when we are receiving our information, our data after our survey.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things that adult students are, everybody's schedule is tight, right? So so your schedule may be something that, you know, I can't come to Parkside at 9 in the morning or 2 in the afternoon, or my schedule doesn't allow me to do that. So part of this initiative also would seem to be, how are you making classes available to adult students so that it meets their particular schedules?
Yeah, I think that some of that info, I think, is definitely going to come back as part of the data that's being collected through the mm-hmm. survey. I sure hope so, because it's certainly, yeah, like you mentioned, it's the accessibility of courses or the variety of different times, or if it's online courses, you know, what does that exactly translate? So I'm definitely hoping that some of that information does come through the survey, and then this way, yeah, be able to address some of those different options.
And I feel like we've made great strides in the last few years or so, handful of years here at Parkside with our online courses, and then also getting more gen eds up online for our adult learners. And I feel like we're really going through a transitional period right now, and I feel that we'll just continue to improve that. And we know we can't do everything, we can't tackle it all at once, but we will, you know, continue to look at what are some of the obvious places or the programs that we can look at and where we can make those improvements quickly. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of work being done, I would say, across campus in little pockets, different areas to address the online component for serving the adult learner, for sure. So I think, again, we've made great strides, but I know that there's still room for improvement, and we continue to do that.
So, Gia, staying with online for a second, as an admissions counselor, do you start to hear about students, more the traditional age student, are they interested in online? Are they curious about online? Because you could make a case that you could come out of high school today and maybe never set foot in a university and still earn your university degree.
I think so. I mean, I think there is that is a possibility. But, I mean, it really depends on the student. I personally wouldn't recommend for a student to just have that be their college experience. I think they're missing a huge component. But there are many students who are used to already taking some online courses, whether it's through their high school curriculum. But I think definitely the fact that we have that as an option, I think, is more so along the lines of conversation. I get more often I get questions from students asking, you know, what does an online course really kind of consist of, you know, because they may think that it's going to be at a specific time that they just log in, they could be at home and whatnot. And yeah, sure, I mean, it is accessible in that aspect, but making sure too that they understand online courses here at Parkside, you know, there's an additional fee for online courses, and that's also something that if they're keeping costs in the back of their head, they need to keep in mind as well. So it's a variety of factors that play into why a student would want to do just online courses or in person, but typically I think the conversations revolve more around the fact that we have them and that they could take, you know, a course here and there, and then the rest of them have them be in person, and there's certainly benefits to both.
Do either of you hear or get feedback from people who have taken online courses, what maybe they like or find as it could be a challenge in taking a course? I mean, I know if it was me taking an online course, I would be the worst online course taker in the history of courses. Because
some people admit that. Some people do say that they just prefer the face-to-face. They don't stay as focused. You know, they don't work as well independently that way.
Yeah.
So I think, back to Gia's point, you know, we hope that that isn't all they want for their college experience, because I feel that, you know, they would be missing out on a lot of just that spirit of community that we have around here at Parkside, and being able to network with other students and, you know, work, you know, communities of practice, maybe even just with studying and things like that. So, but I feel that, you know, it is up to the individual learner. Some, there are always going to be the learners, I think, they're out there that really prefer to be all online, and we have to be ready for it. But I don't think it's ever going to, it doesn't feel like it's going to switch.
It definitely isn't.
Completely
there
in that
still
direction.
There still is a very traditional mentality, and definitely within the Latino community. It's, you know, going to college means, you know, you're going to this, you know, big institution, sitting in a classroom with a professor. So that typically, that still is, you know, the very traditional image of what it means to go to college. And I think it would be very difficult, I think, to sell just the idea of going through online courses for adult students. And I think that's also something, you know, that's being considered, because although it definitely is much more accessible to take an online course, but then opens up, you know, whether or not they may have access to internet. You know, I had a chance to speak with a student who came in with its mom, and he was actually shopping around for a master's program as an adult Latino student. But for him, you know, we do have a program that matched with his interests, but it's totally presented online. And that wasn't something that he was really looking for.
Sure.
So it definitely, you know, they may come in, you know, with the idea of pursuing their education, and then we have the course online, but it still may not necessarily fit what they are looking for. So it's still, you know, the possibility that we have some in-person, you know, programs you can complete entirely in person. I mean, we have several, and then the fact that we have a couple that you could complete online, I think, just keeping that versatility that of the programs is what's going to be important.
Sure. Maybe a far-fetched question, but we're getting near the end of our half hour, so we'll go far-fetched. Here we are with one of 15 colleges or universities that are part of this initiative. Does it mean anything to the university in terms of a little bit more broader awareness of us as an institution for either of you?
And certainly we can promote the fact that we are involved in this, you know, initiative. I think it's really important. It's exciting. And I think it's more about the work that comes out of it, the projects that we choose and the outcomes that are really going to build more awareness for Parkside in the end.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my feeling. Gia?
Within admissions, you bet, John. This is going to put us out there. Let me tell you why. We are the first public 4-year accredited university in Wisconsin to be an emerging Hispanic serving institution.
Yeah.
That puts us on the map.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That puts us certainly on the map. So you bet that we're moving forward to really becoming an HSI. And whether it means within the next 5 years or 10 years, we're moving at a rapid rate here. So I have mm-hmm. no doubt that we will get there. And it, you know, certainly puts a huge competition for the rest of the universities out there that are looking to make their way up there. They've got some contenders, so it's going to be hard for them to get to 16.8.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I was taking your question in the context of being involved with the cohort. I'm not sure what that means as much, but as like Gia said, I think absolutely that we're moving in the right direction, and this is going to be huge for us.
Well, and that was kind of to your point, Gia. That's what I was curious about, because I think it's always good when you can go out and talk about your institution and bring into the conversation some things where people may go, oh, that's pretty interesting. Didn't know that. So, and you've brought some really interesting points to our conversation today. I appreciate the fact that both of you took time to be with us on Parkside today. We've been joined by UW Parkside Director of Continuing Education, Krista Cruz, and UW Parkside Admissions Counselor Gia Gutierrez. Krista and Gia, thanks for being on Parkside today.
Thanks so much, John. Thank you.